Thank you for joining me, Estra, this Saturday, July 19th, 2014, for Talking About You with Estra from Seattle, Washington, USA. This is your car accident radio channel, bringing knowledge and support about auto insurance, employer, short and long-term disability, personal injury, and much, much more. Social Security disability is a topic one should investigate for yourself. Many times we trust others to either keep us informed, and this lack of knowledge can be problematic at some point. Operating in ignorance on such an important issue can have serious consequences. Information can be overwhelming when searching for specific topics. This program highlights Social Security disability for those injured in car accidents who want a basic understanding of main points. Most people think that after waiting 3 years to be approved for Social Security disability, their problems are over. Yet, this may not be true. Over the past decades, many rules and regulations regarding Social Security disability benefits have changed. In fact, one way to keep disabled informed on new rules or old ones is the placement of annual benefit statements, which started in 2013, to add the basic information. This is a great idea to allow everyone to stay updated on changes or basic requirements. Realize most injured or sick people do not necessarily recall everything they've learned when originally approved or keep up with changes. From my perspective, most are just trying to make it day by day. This alone, for many, is a major task. Many sick or injured people attempt to solve problems with their Social Security disability by going into the nearest office or calling the 800 number. But is this the best choice? Did you know all offices are able to resolve your concerns? The reputation of a specific office varies, and using the 800 number can be a lot like playing Russian roulette, because services depend on whom you get a hold of. The best way, in my opinion, to deal with Social Security disability problems is to know the rules and your rights. Knowing your rights empower you to stand up when accurate or actually inaccurate information comes your way. The rules help you to understand expectations, although in some cases, especially in many contracts as we see with employer benefit packages, or auto insurance policy contracts, they may be placed there in order to allow the elimination of claims legally, or from my perspective, prey on those with less resources, power, or influences. Fortunately, our government has to play by fairer rules in most cases, although at times it doesn't prevail. However, you have a fighting chance to seek justice and resolve the problems amicably. In other words, come to an agreement that you can live with. Also enjoy two new videos. Meet Estra, a new video that is now out on IMDb, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, along with Video Disability Surveillance 101. Share them with your family, friends, coworkers, so if involved in a car accident, they will be all ready to connect to my links. To ensure a legitimate Estra link, look for the 3 stars from my official site, since harassers have placed illegitimate links that are not mine. So make sure that you're actually looking at something that is from the official Estra's website. If uninsured or desire a safer alternative to not being based, your actual health insurance being based on employment, make sure to get covered. Be prepared for the unexpected and get insured. I'd also like to remind you that Car Accident Weekly Planner is currently available, so stop by any time during the year if involved in a car accident to pick one up. Having both my book, Car Accident by Estra, and the Weekly Planner makes organizing, documenting, and information retrieval easier. So stop by my official website, Estra's official car accident site, or eBay under Estra's Car Help for more information. Spend time reading, watching, or listening for valuable accident wisdom, knowledge, and support. Today we will spend our time talking about Social Security disability regular reviews on your case, rules and regulations you should know, disability surveillance performed on you, local Social Security offices, and resolving Social Security disability problems. Typically, by the time most people get around to applying for Social Security disability, they have found themselves down to a few or no resources. Many have applied for benefits in their state just to survive. Thank God for state benefits, right? But life conditions can be daily struggles. In my opinion, things are set up this way to drive even the most sick and injured back to work if they had a job. Many will attempt to work through the pain and suffering and on occasion be fired because they are unable to fulfill their obligations. So, in my opinion, be careful about going back to work when you're not well. Also in this way, employers are off the hook for paying out any benefits. What kind of society is willing to sit back and allow this level of suffering and humiliation? Realize, of course, there are many people, nonprofit or profit companies, who get down in the trenches and help those in need. And we need to remember that because they do a lot of great work. Many of them have overcome serious obstacles. Disabled and sick are very appreciative for their help. Otherwise, a dark and dreary journey would rarely see the light of day for most people injured. By the time recipients receive Social Security disability income, most are in a great deal of debt and just looking for a way to make ends meet. If approved, many disabled think those long three-year process is the end of their struggles. Although the average Social Security disability benefit is around $1,200 per month, which covers approximately half of what is needed for the average monthly living expenses. For many, it is better than struggling without their full salary or few or no resources at all. If anyone says being on Social Security is a picnic, ask them to try surviving on half of their income, especially since most people are only one paycheck away from homelessness. It's a constant struggle to get by on dealing with a disability. In my opinion, shame-based bullying is common ways to demean people into feeling bad about their disability. The injured should not allow the behavior of others to determine who or actually how they feel about themselves, so don't you feel ashamed, or impact their decision-making. Again, focus on your personal goal. Social Security disability regularly reviews your case file. Typically, this happens every 3 years. Therefore, don't rest too easily and think the worst is over. There may be other issues that trigger a review in your case, and currently, there's been a push to clear the rolls, so to speak, and reduce the overall cost of the entire Social Security Administration. There is no talk about SSA money that has been extended out for other purposes. Wall Street! That's just my little thing there. If SSA money is spent only on the programs, then perhaps the estimated time period of funding drying up would not be as much of an issue, at least from my perspective. The rules and regulation information comes primarily from Social Security Administration's own information, from their own site or something that they've written. So if I talk today about information that's from someplace else, I'll make sure to decipher so that you know what I've gotten from their own sites or their own documentation or someplace else. So the role that they say that they've assigned for themselves is, quote, Social Security numbers administers the retirement, survivor, and disability insurance programs. That's what Social Security Administration is saying that they do. And they actually administer the Supplemental Security Income Program for the aged, blind, and disabled. It says SSA describes its structure as, quote, the Social Security Administration is hereby or headed by a commissioner, by the way, which has not been fulfilled. I don't know if that's not Congress doing their job again. Although there is an acting commissioner currently, her name is Carolyn W. Colvin, and has a staff of almost how many? 60,000 employees, right? So SSA Central Office is located in Baltimore, Maryland, which to me has some of the most poorest people in the United States from my experience there, but that's another story. The field organization, which is decentralized to provide services at the local level, which includes 10 regional offices, 6 processing centers, and 1,200 field offices, okay? So if there's 1,200 field offices, although they've been closing quite a few from what I've been noticing, if there's 1,200 field offices out there, that means you have a few to choose from. The actual official, or they call it the Office of Public Inquiries, where you could write, is the address is 604 Security Boulevard, Baltimore, Maryland, 12135. And their phone number is 800-772-1213, or the TTY is 800-325-0778. And they also have a place where you can actually go out and find the local Social Security offices. And I'll actually have that link out on my Twitter, which is at Estra's Radio Show, or Facebook, Talking About You with Estra. And their website is ssa.gov. Unfortunately, this has become a season for cutbacks for Social Security disability at a time when more people are retiring and becoming injured. In my opinion, this is unacceptable. Baby boomers have paid their dues and premiums, and that is not, and this is happening during their senior years. And too many actually will be spending their remaining lives close to poverty or in poverty. The number of seniors in the USA for the baby boomers generation will what? Double, will be actually over double. Therefore, it would be expected that more people would become disabled. SSDI is not supposed to supply all the income required for living after a disability, yet we have allowed employers off the hook for paying their fair share, in my opinion, and a decision should be made by Congress to actually reverse this, because it's sad. It really is sad that they're able to, you know, get their coffers up extremely high when the rest of most people can't even get a decent wage increase for the last 30 years. So, you know, Congress needs to reverse this so that people are able not to only get their Social Security, but they should be able to get more than 20% of their benefits from their employers. And this is under the ERISA program, and that's why I have such a problem with the unfairness. And this is really why it's important to keep up with the changes in legislation on Social Security. Many new legislations have not been actually in the best of the seniors or disabled, in my opinion. Therefore, in order to hold off some of these changes, everyone needs to be aware of what is going on in Congress, if they're doing anything at all, from my opinion, and be willing to stand up and hold on to benefits. Otherwise, Wall Street may have their way with your benefits, and you may end up homeless, hungry, or both, in my opinion. Now, the Social Security Administration has their own Ways and Means Committee, which usually has someone. I wanted to list the names of these people so that if they're in your state, you can contact them and say, I know that you're on the Ways and Means Committee. I know that ERISA reform is desperately needed. We need to be able to not only be protected with our Social Security benefits, and not, they don't need to go to Wall Street. Wall Street definitely has enough of that, especially right now. But we also need ERISA reform so that companies aren't able to keep all our benefits either. So I just want to try to read this off a little quickly. I don't want to spend too much time, but I do want to get them in. It's Sam Johnson in Texas, Kevin Brady in Texas, Paul Ryan in Wisconsin, David Nunes in California, Pat Tiberi in Ohio, Dave Richard in Washington, Charles W. Bastani Jr. in Louisiana, Peter Roskam in Illinois, Jim Gerlach in Pennsylvania, and forgive me if I pronounce your names wrong, Tom Price in Georgia, Vern Buchanan in Florida, Adrian Smith in Nebraska, Aaron Schock in Illinois, Lynn Jenkins in Kansas, Sandra M. Levin in Michigan, Charles B. Rangel in New York, Jim McDermott in Washington, John Lewis in Georgia, Richard Neal in Massachusetts. By the way, I have to stop and give Jim McDermott from Washington kudos. He's always, in my opinion, standing for the rights that help the people, and I really appreciate that. Excuse me. Xavier Baraka in California, excuse me, Xavier. Lloyd Doggett in Texas. Mike Thompson, California. John Larson, Connecticut. Earl Bloominger in Oregon. Ron Kine, Wisconsin. Bill Paskler Jr. in New Jersey. Joseph Crowley in New York. And Allison Swartz in California. So, and actually there's a few more here. There's Eric Paulson in Minnesota, Kenny Merchant in Texas, Diane Black, Tennessee, Tom Reed in New York, Todd Young in Indiana, Mike Kelly in Pennsylvania, Tim Griffin in Arizona, Tim Renacci in Ohio, Danny Davis in Illinois, and Linda Sanchez in California. It's important to know who to talk to in your state, and that's why I spent the time listing those off, because you really need to know what's going on and what they're doing in that Ways and Means Committee. So it's important to know who to talk to in your state when a major issue arises with Social Security. Don't hesitate to let them know. Remember, they work for you, right? They're there for us. They should be doing things that help us to get through this process, make our lives better, right? That's why we want them there. And that's also why you need to make sure that you're paying attention. You have values, and your opinions count. I want to go on and I want to talk about the listing of impairments as described by Social Security. Quote, excuse me. The listing of impairments described for each major body system, impairments considered severe enough to prevent an individual from doing any gainful activity, or in the case of children under age 18 applying for SSI, and that's social supplemental income, which is different from SSDI. So SSI is based more on income. SSDI is based on you paid premiums to get in, and you just have to have enough of a number of years or quarters that you've actually paid into that to qualify, along with some other things, but that's one of the main things. Most of the listed impairments are permanent or expected to result in death, or the listing includes a specific statement of duration is made. For all listings, the evidence must show that the impairment has lasted or is expected to last for a continuous period of at least 12 months. The criteria in the listing of impairments are applicable to the evaluation of a claim for disability benefits under the Social Security Disability Insurance Program. Can I say that again? Social Security Disability Insurance Program. This was an insurance program, so when people say you're getting something for nothing, you tell them that you aren't. Say that you're proud to have been a part of the Social Security Disability Program, and that now that you need it, you would like to apply, and it should be the same way with auto insurance coverage and self-insured employer benefits. If you've paid into them, you should be able to use them if you need them. So, but I want you to say, how do you know that you should apply? You ask yourself, has your impairment lasted or is it expected to last more than 12 months, right? So that's important to keep in mind when you consider applying for Social Security. Now, quote, I just want to quote, it has a Part A and a Part B of medical criteria that they evaluate your impairments by. So, and they have a lot of that information out there where you can actually go out and take a look and make sure that the criteria that they're applying to you is being applied in the appropriate way. So, from my point of view, it is very important, let me repeat this, it's very important that you are diagnosed by someone who specializes in what your impairment is. Otherwise, auto insurance or self-employers may do anything to deny your injury, saying, well, maybe the person was not qualified, they weren't in this area, how much do they know? And most of them have what? Power and influence, and people to go in and say a lot of where they want to go, unfortunately, from my perspective. So, again, for many of them, it's about saving money for their investors. Okay, I want to go back and quote a couple more things about levels of impairment from the Social Security Administration's site. It says, however, the absence of listing level impairments does not mean the individual is not disabled. Rather, it merely requires the adjudicator to move to the next step of the process and apply other rules in order to resolve the issue of disability. Okay. So, in other words, the evaluation on your claim will be judged on what not only your physician's opinion is, but also theirs. Realize many of these physicians have seen your impairment many times, and unless this is a very rare case, they should be able to evaluate your condition. So, I mean, that means if they've got 60,000 employees, I assure you that most of the things that come through their Social Security disability offices are pretty common. In fact, they're probably able to actually analyze a lot of diseases or injuries better than most because they see them quite a bit. Okay. The difference between the evaluation of those done by an auto insurance company and self-employer, in my opinion, is that they're seeking to honestly evaluate your condition. I'm talking about the Social Security. They just really want to know, is this person disabled? Okay. I haven't, found that necessarily the same with auto insurance companies or employers. So something is definitely, in my opinion, wrong with that picture. So you paid premiums on for all of these, so you should be treated the same, in my opinion, for all of them. Because you place your trust that they'll be there when you are disabled or injured. And most people don't realize that with the insurance companies and also employers, you might spend up to 10 years litigating your case in court. First of all, especially if it's an ERISA court, most people don't have the money to actually go in there and actually fight them, which is problematic in my opinion, when our courts are based more on who has the money to fight versus actually someone who's violating the law. And that's why I say, Congress, you really need to change this. Working people need legislation that will treat them fairly. So I truly hope in the near future you will consider changing ERISA. But from my opinion, when Social Security is actually looking for a disability, they're just wanting to see if this person is truly disabled. They're not looking at, okay, how are we going to actually, make this so that this person isn't disabled. From my opinion, they don't actually take a stand such as that. The rules and regulations currently written for Social Security can be viewed by you. Yes, you. This means you have the opportunity to evaluate any discrepancies in your case. So if you find that what you are being told at a local office is not quite in line with the rules and regulations, you can challenge this assertion. The key is to realize you have rights and that you can stand for them. Disability surveillance is also performed by Social Security Administration, and in my opinion, surveillance can be used to help the disabled or to use as a budget-cutting tool, even when people are injured. From my point of view, people can become lost while being disabled, uncertain where life is going, and have become disenfranchised with living. We see a good example in the movie Forrest Gump, but eventually he learns to accept his plight, he gets a new pair of legs, and finds the love of his life. However, disabilities can be traumatic. Physical and emotional healing takes a while. Surveillance at these times can help. Can I say that again? Surveillance at these times can help disabled get back on track, provide rehabilitation that's needed to help continue to improve their lives and find a way back to being productive in society. When this happens, everyone benefits, and without it, some disabled may journey down a path of destruction. And in my opinion, surveillance under these circumstances is a good thing. I need to add something here, though. long as it's not harassment and intimidation and bullying. That's, to me, that's another problem. And as a budget cutting tool, or in hopes of helping corporations keep their bottom lines afloat, to me, it's problematic from my perspective. And I think that's where you get into the harassment and the intimidation and the bullying. So, and disabled people at this time are actually not at their best. They're hurting and they're lost. And many are just looking for ways to either return to their old lives or build new ones. Since the injured have never been in these circumstances before, they are easily intimidated and harassed from my perspective. And their knowledge, in most cases, is limited because they've never had to be in this arena. Unfortunately, this is a time where they can be taken advantage of, and that's tragic. So if you've been taken advantage of, you've been harassed and intimidated, don't feel like this is your fault. In my opinion, this is about the money, and cutting the money back has nothing to do with your injuries, where you are. It has to do with giving money maybe to the wrong people or saving money for the wrong reason. So basically it's a hand up initially that turns into a hand down, leaving the injured and sick worse off than they originally were. Therefore, realize that disability surveillance is performed by Social Security Disability approximately every 3 years, and that your benefits may not be permanent or stopped for some period of time. Make sure to keep up with changing laws and legislation, because in my opinion, this is where most problems occur, especially with Wall Street seeking to get their hands on Social Security funds. From my perspective, Social Security disability recipients must stick together and not be bullied when under surveillance. This can only lead to those people with less integrity placing you in a detrimental situation. So use caution if you find yourself under surveillance. Stay focused and stay with the facts, no matter how other topics are brought up. The only thing to discuss are the facts of disability, in my opinion. The key is to recognize all the possibilities that can happen while receiving Social Security disability and find an office which holds integrity and support at the top of their goals. If this happens, more than likely, decisions can be reached that are acceptable both to you and the Social Security Administration. I want to just highlight a couple of the Social Security disability determination processes. Quote, it says, most Social Security disability claims are initially processed through a network of local Social Security Administration field offices and state agencies called Disability Determination Services. Subsequent appeals of unfavorable determinations may be decided by the Disability Determination Service, that's the DDS, and then you have the SSA field offices, just so you know the difference between the two, although they can also be in the same office from what I understand. So it says subsequent appeals of unfavorable determinations may be decided in a DDS or by administrative judge, law judge in SSA's Office of Disability Adjudication and Review. And if you need to go in front of an administrative law judge, chances are you're going to need to get a Social Security disability attorney. And I would also recommend the same thing of reviewing their record to see where they are. And from my experience with Social Security attorneys, they're really good at assessing where you are, your disabilities, and getting what you need. In fact, they can also bring out to light some of the things that maybe even your doctor hasn't actually put there that needs to be there. So that's really a great thing about that, if you get a good one. And I think that's what it's really about with everything that's in this process of making sure that you find people that are actually looking out for your best interest, understand your condition, and are more importantly willing to fight to get your benefits for you if necessary. It says the field office is responsible for verifying non-medical eligibility requirements. So that might include age, employment, marital status, Social Security coverage, just to name some of the few. Another thing here is, it says the DDS office, which are fully funded by the federal government, are state agencies. I didn't know that. So the DDS is a funded federal government. It's funded by the federal government, but it's a state agency responsible for developing medical evidence and rendering the initial determination or whether or not the claimant is disabled or blind under the law. And that's really good to know that that's where you actually need to look. Then it's the DDS for the determination. So, quote, if that evidence is unavailable or insufficient, make a determination. The DDS will arrange for a consultative examination. That's a CE is what it's called when it's by Social Security. It's an IME if it's done by your auto insurance company, just so that you know. But the purpose is the same. Personally, I've experienced an independent medical exam, and that's the auto insurance, and I've done the CE by the Social Security disability. And I personally can say without a doubt, in my case, the Social Security exam was more interested in whether I was disabled, and the auto insurance was looking for ways to dismiss my claim. Believe me, I could write a book about this one, and maybe in the future I will. So this is the reason why you want to open your disability claim in an office that you can trust, because there's going to be so many different components that's going to be reviewed and looked at. And when you don't feel good and your disability may be impacting how you're dealing with this process, you just want to make sure that you're getting everything the way in which it needs to be. Now, most people have stereotypes in mind when they're thinking about having to go and apply online for Social Security disability. And in my opinion, most stereotypes are created in order to create shame. That's what I'm always talking about. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed and stand up for what you deserve. So shame, just take it and move it elsewhere. It's just something people use to actually get you to do things they want you to do. Anything that's shame-based, if you see any people in our political system using shame or calling people names or doing those type of things to humiliate or embarrass, then you know their objective isn't in your best interest. They have another agenda, and they want things to go that way. So don't let other people use, regardless of in what circumstances, shame against you. With wrong perceptions of those with disability and those who are poor, many find being relented into these categories painful. But I would ask you to consider taking a different view. First of all, disability happens to people of all social economic stratas. Therefore, many of these misconceptions serve no purpose. Serve no purpose but to demean people with disabilities. Secondly, in our current economy, only the 1% seem to be having a great recovery. And in my opinion, this is because we now live in a global economy, and so they have less concern about their own country and spend their resources and our taxes where they can get the most bang for their buck. Which brings us back to the thousands of jobs in America being lost, them being dumbing down, taking away our education system, or the funds for our education system, which definitely dumbs us down, and leaving many to fend for themselves without the tools or the resources to be successful. Therefore, yes, many are poor. The educated, the manufacturing, the service industry, everyone has been placed in the what? Same pot. So in order to get out of this situation, people must begin viewing themselves away from these companies, this 1%, which is only serving their own interests. Regardless of your stance in life, everyone must dream again and begin building on those dreams in order to make America strong. It's each one of us doing all we can. It's not looking for someone else to help us get there. We have to decide we're going to do all that we can. That doesn't mean we don't take the resources that we need to live. Okay, that's a whole nother story from my perspective. That's why you paid on those premiums, so that if you got into trouble, you need it. So never be ashamed about applying to do that. Not by giving your ideas, though, to multi-billion dollar resources when you have these dreams, but start small, support small businesses, and just take care of each other. There is no shame in being poor. Let me say this again. There is no shame at being poor. Poor people work just as hard, in my opinion, as rich people, probably more because they have a lot more stress and they're trying to survive. You know, the same lies with those who create the cycle of poverty blame the people who are poor. Yesterday, I just have to digress for just another second. I've never seen so many people, I guess in a lot of our major cities, there's a lot of scrap metal that people are going out and grabbing and trying to survive. And I'm just amazed that, especially like in Michigan, that's been struggling for quite some time, how people are determined to go out and find a way to do things. And they're working very hard just trying to be able to survive. So in my opinion, when people say, oh, poor people are lazy, poor people aren't lazy. If they were that lazy, they'd be dead because they would have nothing and they'd have no resources and they would give up. Most people get up, go to work, two or three jobs in some cases, just to try to make it. So when you see people blaming the poor for being poor, that's just not true. That's just a way of some people letting their guilt take the place of doing what they know they should be doing, at least in my opinion. Okay, so I've gotten that out of the way. In my experience, the employees of SSA do not look down upon you when you go in to fill out that application. In fact, they understand your situation more than most because they see it every day. Well, how long do they see it? Every day. So they do not let the stereotypes get in their way. So don't you let them get in your way or harassment stop you from going in and applying for Social Security disability. Most of these employees are there to help you and to lift you up in order for you to be able to actually help yourself again. So that's the whole purpose of Social Security disability, in my opinion, is to help you help you. So if you didn't have a problem, you wouldn't be there. And most people become disabled at least for some period of time in their lives. You paid the premiums every month out of your paycheck in case you needed it. So now you need it. Go and apply and don't feel ashamed about it. Personally, I know how difficult this can be, but I also know that it can lift you up and help you get back in the game, your game of life. So take it, but don't give up on yourself or your dreams. Get back in that saddle and keep trying. No matter how many times you fall, get up. No matter how many problems come your way that you need to resolve, keep on them. Don't give up. Can you be slow when you're sick? You don't feel good, you're disabled? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean you won't eventually get to it. Get to it and be proud that you took that time and determination to get there. Because the next level might just be more exciting than the previous one. So do your homework and check in with SSA offices to file your claim. And do all your communication through that office. Again, you have the right to choose which location. And therefore, choosing one that is fully equipped is important. From my perspective, I personally believe you have a better opportunity in getting a fair shake from a Social Security disability office than the auto insurance company or self-insured employer. First, you can go to any Social Security office. Therefore, research their record on client complaints. Choose one you think will be fair in their decision-making. Once you check on their reputation and that they take it seriously and have something to lose by allowing bad faith employees to work there, because the word of mouth will spread quickly, especially today or actually on the internet when an office is operating more in bad faith. So by taking your concerns and responding to theirs at a location with integrity, you can respect what they say, and you feel that your concerns are being heard by them, hopefully you can find common ground. Auto insurance companies, employers, attorneys, law enforcement work a great deal with SSA, and this work may not always be in your best interest, but theirs. From my perspective, a denial by SSA helps these other companies deny your claims, especially when SSA eligibility is more stringent than private corporations. When these corporations or individuals have too much power or influence locally or nationally regarding the decisions made by Social Security disability, in my opinion, biases can develop. When objectivity is lost, the outcome can be unfavorable for the disabled person, who is typically left out of the loop and have few resources typically to defend themselves. However, the decent laws and rules in place, the low and middle class person does have a chance to overcome problems that might otherwise eliminate their benefits. If only those same rules applied to auto insurance companies and self-insured employers, there would be a lot less disabled people living in poverty, from my perspective, and less premiums staying in the coffers and more going into the insurance. As a side note, most people with SSDI would be living in poverty. Therefore, they need to hire attorneys to resolve concerns, and then they end up losing income, which in my opinion keeps the whole cycle of keeping the poor even poorer. When systems are in place to keep the injured and sick paying out significant portions of their claims to attorneys or not receive any benefits at all, in my opinion, this is a major problem. When responding to concerns received by SSDI, place it in writing. It's a good idea to date and sign the document. If contacting on websites, print a copy of what you've seen. If a phone conversation, learn the name of the person whom you're talking with and where they're located. If you're not getting any replies to your questions via phone, mail, internet, and you've only been being told that it's at the payment center, meaning your checks have been stopped, in my opinion, this may be a code word for Disability Surveillance Department, or also known as the OIC. Don't panic. Perhaps a disgruntled coworker, partner, employer, or someone else with an axe to grind is trying to make your life miserable. Do not be harassed or intimidated out of your benefits. Remember, state only the facts about your case. If repeatedly asked the same question, you can continue to respond by sending in the same document originally sent. Don't be bullied, but be truthful and state the facts. As stated before, in most situations, I have found them to be a reasonable in attempts to resolving the issues that need to be addressed. I'm speaking of Social Security disability. However, offices in low-income neighborhoods can sometimes respond and address issues at substandard levels, in my opinion. It's best, regardless of the SSA location, to check their record on how they treat people. Again, don't be discouraged and don't give up. In my opinion, this is part of the process in hopes of you giving up on your benefits. But also realize how important it is to save for the rainy day and prepare for the unexpected, such as your benefits abruptly stopping without being informed. Some of the most difficult times in life are when your future seems uncertain and you are left with few or no resources. But I have good news for you. Many have survived their problems and gone on to do great things, and so can you. So stay focused on each task at hand. Always, as I say time and time again, be your best advocate and stay hopeful through your problems. Make sure to look up every once in a while. In this way, you will continue to focus on what's the good things that can still come your way. Keep your heart strong in the fight, and you will get out on the other side. Take a few minutes each day and think about doing a little bit better. I understand your situation, and I am always only one internet click away. From my perspective, going through a disability process is one of the hardest things to do. First of all, it's a constant reminder of the things you are no longer capable of doing at this point. And the process at times seems to place your life in the hands of others. Furthermore, there's a recognition of being held back from your goals and dreams. Ouch! That hurts. It really does burn. Yet, in order for most people to survive, because financial support is needed, it's time to jump through someone's hoops. If this is done as a method to help documentation of condition, as typically stated, great. Yet, in some cases, it's a mechanism to eliminate paying out disability claims, in my opinion. This typically starts with auto insurance claims, and they too, if receiving financial assistance through wage reimbursement, and that's usually part of the PIP process, will have a constant barrage of paperwork for you to fill out. And you still must hope and pray that your check arrives on time or doesn't stop unexpectedly. Also, know the limit on payouts, and also the stated amounts received are not necessarily what you think it is from looking at your paperwork or your insurance policy. So read the fine print and know for sure, especially if you're in it, because in my opinion, not knowing what you're expecting to get or expecting something to get that you don't get can cause a great deal more stress than it relieves. So make sure if you're getting wage reimbursements from your auto insurance company that you know a little bit about what that fine line means, and if it says that you're actually going to be able to get up to, you know, X number of dollars a week, that you get it and it's not actually half of that because they've got some other stipulations in there. It's very important to know. Or, if available, some may begin with an employer disability claim. You may be approved at several levels here. You may have been approved at short-term disability, and they also require that you will send them updates from your opinion. Also, they'll send them to your physicians. I need to say a little something here. Both your auto insurance company and employers, and SSDI too, by the way, they always really want access to your physicians. And I'm not sure that that's always great, because sometimes a great deal of pressure can be placed on them to do what they want them to do instead of what's actually going on. So sometimes you really need somebody that's a good advocate in there to help you to defend off some of the actions of some of these people. So, not like I said, not all of them are created equal. So that's a come. You want to, excuse me, go with a company that's not looking to eliminate your claim, but to someone who just wants to verify how things are and that it's a legitimate claim. And most like voting, most people vote, and there's not a voting problem in America. And in my opinion, the same thing is with the injured. It's just ways of people trying to not allow people to get what they deserve. So now this might go on for several months where, you know, you're sending, you've filed for an employer disability claim and you've got the short-term disability and they're sending you stuff and they're sending them the physician stuff and they may pay you for a while. And you might end up even actually going into long-term disability where the same things continue. However, at any of these points, make sure that you know your employer can deny or delay your benefits. And during these updates, any of the three, like I've said, the employer, auto insurance companies, or Social Security disability income, they could be actually looking for ways to eliminate your claim. So always stick to the facts when you're documenting. And document anything that occurs when dealing with them. Make sure that you have the people's name, the date, the time, what was asked, what you did, because you never know what's really going to be important down the line, and you really want to have as much information available as possible. Also, be aware that all three of these companies have the resources to hinder your ability to obtain the claim benefits you're expecting in order to navigate some of your daily living expenses. I mean, how safe can it be to place your life in their hands? That's the question you need to ask, okay? Let me say that again. How safe can it be to place your life in their hands, even when you're paying all of them premiums every month? Perhaps in the new future, or in the near future, we'll begin again to become more of a savings middle class. If one is left, off the meager wages, it's very difficult if you're not sustaining, making very much to actually save. And with the 30 years of stagnation with the wages, in my opinion, it's a very difficult place to be. But in my opinion, whether sick, injured, or healthy, more of our destiny needs to be placed back in our own hands. From my perspective, trusting a small percentage of our society to make good choices on our behalf doesn't currently seem to be working. This change will only come when the majority of people not only want change, but what act upon it. So we can sit and complain and say, okay, we want things to be different. We want to be having fair wages. We want infrastructure built. You know, we want to have housing. We want to have food that we know what's in it. I mean, there's a lot of things we want. And there are many people out there working for those things. And there are a lot of people out there that feel like they don't have the time because they're just trying to survive. But if each one of us can just carve out something a little, something special, something to do, it can be very small to help. When that magnifies, when everyone's doing that, it can make change. Just like voting in 214. To me, that's a very important issue because a lot of the legislation that's coming our way isn't in support of the middle class. So in order for you to make it better for you and your family and your friends and even your country as a whole, you need to vote. And I know in some particular states that's going to be very difficult because they've made it so that you've got to jump through all these hoops, just like a lot of injured and disabled people are doing, for the benefits in order to vote, okay? And it seems like, oh, that's just too much, that's just unfair. And in my opinion, in both of these situations, it's unfair. But if everyone stops and gives up, then we're really going to be in a very bad place. So I just hope that you'll take the time to say, I know that I've got to do all these things in order to vote in 214, but I want things to be better in my life, in my children's life, and the only way that's going to happen is if I vote and share. It's not, sometimes the votes are so close, counting one by one, as we've seen lately, has been really critical in some of the races. So I hope that nothing and no circumstances that people will do will stop you from actually going out and voting. Lastly, most people are surprised when they apply for Social Security disability income and are turned down. They are injured and they're not even sure why it happened. Disappointment and despair does set in for some, and some hire SSDI attorneys who help them navigate the terrain. Some give up and become hopeless. Out on my Facebook is a graph of the number of people who apply and the number of people who are approved. Over the years, the gap is definitely widening. The falling through the crap people have no resources, and since most Americans live paycheck to paycheck, it can get pretty ugly out there for them. So there are no guarantees or safety nets that you can truly account on if you become injured, in my opinion. If you are fortunate, perhaps you will receive some portion of these benefits. But then, for how long will they last? From an employer's, perhaps 2 years, an insurance company, until they reach maybe perhaps a computer-generated payout limit, or when a Social Security disability reviewer decides to drop your benefits without notice. Does this mean not to apply for your benefits? Absolutely not. They all took your premiums for such a time as this. The key here is to be aware of what can happen when it's unexpected to you. Therefore, be diligent in observing their behaviors and actions and documenting the activities. Most people believe, or actually most people become ashamed because they are not able to pull themselves up from their bootstraps after such a circumstances. However, I say to you that those employers, auto insurance companies, and Social Security disability were supposed to be your bootstraps to help you get back up on your feet. By the way, there are three entities that have close relationships, or actually, there's one entity, or probably more than that. They have a lot of resources. But a close relationship all three of these have is with law enforcement. Therefore, surveillance activities might be experienced. Now, some of these people will actually be working without a license to harass and intimidate, to hope that you will actually relinquish your claim. But don't go that way. But make sure to videotape and record their actions, because a lot of them may not be legal, as I've stated before. In my opinion, fortunately, power and influence are used against many with few resources and knowledge, which speaks to the unfair advantage of how our current system works against the poor and middle class, from my experience. Fortunately, this is not always the case. That's a really good thing. So that's what I say. I look for good faith insurance companies, good faith employers, and Social Security disability offices that also operate in good faith, because none of them are all the same. So sometimes maybe you need to talk with a few friends and find out how they've been treated, in particular if they've been in car accidents of a serious nature. In recent years, we continue to hear that Social Security solvency will end around 2023. There will not be enough people so that the actual amount of money coming in will be supportive for the people who've already applied and are on Social Security. So they're telling people to hold off on applying for Social Security retirement until you're in your 70s. But how many people actually live to this age? And my question is, how many people would have enough to retire on in their golden years, like us baby boomers, if there hadn't been 30 years of wage stagnation? Why isn't anyone talking about how much money that's cost baby boomers in their golden years? A generation with many contributions to our country and continues to deliver. Yet now, at a time when all their hard work should be paying off, they're asked to work a few more years because of decades our government has allowed 1% to unfairly take resources belonging to the poor and middle class. When will this question, again, be asked? In my opinion, instead of having those 30 years of additional income for retirement, our system is looking in the wrong direction to recover these resources. I would suggest getting it from the people who benefited the last 30 years and not the ones who've actually been giving it and or actually been giving and not receiving it in return. Most people receiving Social Security disability receive around $1,200 a month. This amount does not allow many to even live indoors without government subsidies, or which have been depleted years ago, or the cost for food and heat. So from my perspective, we've left many of our seniors and disabled in a really bad place. Prospectively speaking, it is not the resources going to the sick or injured or seniors that has gotten our society in such a difficult spot. It is the injustices of our system that caused this plight. And it is only the private sector that created the problem that needs to resolve it. Therefore, when shame is placed on the sick, injured, and seniors, think again. Most have done their part, and now they seek what was promised. Make sure when reviewing the facts that you look at where the money went instead of where it was supposed to go. U.S. citizens made it through the Depression, and although many problems have been forgotten, the suffering and experiences, we are a people that are overcomers through our current plight. Many today are suffering from years of unemployment, foreclosures, homelessness, and disability. We are survivors as a generation, and our creativity will eventually bring us through these difficult times. Many people injured in car accidents face daily challenges to overcome. Sometimes it is better to take it one day at a time, realizing that even though the struggles continue and it's difficult to bear, yet you'll get through it. Place feeling sorry for yourself upon the shelf. Look for opportunities in your day to make it a success, no matter how small. Be victorious. Remember, the goal you've set are for you alone, a starting ground to move you forward. Nothing stays the same forever, especially if you don't give up. Apply for any additional resources that you might qualify for, and don't be ashamed. Instead, When back on your feet, help others, volunteer, share your experiences to help others have an easier time than you had. This is what it's really all about. Giving and taking is an ebb and flow of life, and in my opinion, it's a happier way of living life. Some of the greatest gifts received are unexpected and come from sources unknown. The key is not to give up, hold on to hope, and do not let the decisions or choices of others decide your destiny. Do all you can to survive. I guarantee you that this has happened to many people. From my perspective, many of the injured face difficult circumstances. There's no doubt about that. But they can be overcome if you make a plan. Do not let others discourage you. Then do your very best to get there. It's not always a straight path, but you will begin to have forward movement, and the lessons learned will be invaluable in the future for you and others who come across your path. So stay strong and positive no matter what the obstacles are. I want to add a special thank you for our show today to Audacity, InternetArchives.org, and the musicians which are featured here. Make sure that you actually go out and take one of our surveys. You can find them on Estra's Accident Survey, is the hashtag for it, or out at Estra's Radio Show. When we actually demonstrate the experiences together, what we go through, it can really make a difference. Also, if you know someone without health care, the deadline for Obamacare is March 31st. So make sure that you actually go out to healthcare.gov and sign up. You can also listen to my shows on iTunes under Talking About You with Estra. Thank you for joining me today. Get ready for 2:15. It's just around the corner. Make sure that you have dreams to meet what makes you happy in this world. It only happens one time, so make sure that you get it right just for you. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of free speech has allowed Estra's radio show, TV, and blog to state her opinion in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Talking About You with Estra, Estra's TV, and Estra's blog is no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, LLC, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington, 98168. Thank you.